This article is entitled Father of Fibs. He speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, says John chapter 8, verse 44. It's written for us by Ralph Honeycutt, who you'll remember is an ELCA pastor and author of 10 books, and he lives in Walhalla, South Carolina. In the title tale of Karen Russell's Rye collection of short stories, Orange World, a fearful mother, worried about her baby, strikes a deal with the devil, who usually appears as a nocturnal fox stalking the neighborhood. The voice offers, "Can I help you?" And the woman replies, "What are you?" The fox says, "That's the wrong question. What would you like me to do?" When I arrived on campus for seminary in fall of 1981, certain I'd be kicked out during the first semester for all the doubts that I secretly harbored, it was popular for future pastors in the classes above us, juniors, to sidle up to and mischievously ask, "Do you believe in the devil?" Lutherans and many other Protestants have found it increasingly difficult to believe in organized spiritual evil in the world. Denominational magazine surveys consistently reveal a much higher percentage of respondents who believe in the existence of God compared to God's biblical nemesis. "The repertoire of evil has never been richer," writes Andrew Del Banco in The Death of Satan, How Americans Have Lost the Sense of Evil. He says, "Yet never have our responses been so weak. We have no language for connecting our inner lives with the horrors that pass before our eyes in the outer world." The malevolent force, usually known as Satan, also goes by a variety of other names: Beelzebul, literally Lord of the Flies, and Lucifer. The latter name is especially curious, as it means one who bears light. Evil in the Bible is normally not the creepy, projectile, vomiting, head-spinning entity depicted in a spate of popular exorcism movies. I don't completely discount occurrences of demonic possession. Esteemed psychologist M. Scott Peck wrote about attending an exorcism that left him shaken in his book People of the Lie. Demons, unclean spirits, appear with some frequency in the pages of the New Testament. They first appear in Mark's Gospel, not in some out-of-the-way shady locale where bad people hang out, but instead in a religious setting among Sabbath worshipers. Ponder that for a moment. Personified evil first raises its ugly head in Jesus' public ministry among the devout. Even so, after 3 decades of experiencing a variety of pastoral oddities, I do confess that blatant demon possession is not among them. Our church secretary, Amy, used to field occasional phone calls from concerned residents of our city wondering if we offered scheduled exorcism services. She says, "I can't recall the last one." A deft reply. Malicious forces, in my experience, are usually a lot more subtle. Indeed, they often masquerade as light, undercover, offering things that are, at first glance, just don't look that bad. Lucifer lives. After all, Jesus wasn't tempted in the wilderness by things that looked patently evil. He was tempted by 3 things that look pretty darn good to be relevant, sensational, and powerful, and he refuses all 3 shiny and devilish offerings by quoting scripture, specifically Deuteronomy. Russian novelist Dostoevsky once made a remarkable claim about this story. He says, "If all the copies of the Bible were destroyed and only this temptation narrative was left, it would be enough to save us." The devil can also quote the Bible, or maybe hold the big black tome aloft in a city square, feigning truth and confidence in a magical book that rarely gets opened by many who call it holy. In John's Gospel, the author trots out a little title for the devil that's used only once in the Bible, the Father of Lies. John is obsessed with truth in his Gospel and uses the word, that true, a whopping 43 times. In many baptismal liturgies, candidates for the sacrament are still asked a very old question that stretches back to the early centuries of the Church. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? My son, then 7 years old, was angry at me before church one Sunday morning, and when I asked this question to the baptismal group with the children of the church also gathered around the font, he looked at me with straight in the eyes and thundered, "No!" Well, it brought down the house. Long ago, with baptisms at the great Easter Vigil, this ancient question was accompanied by an actual liturgical spitting toward the western darkness, the devil, before being plunged, sans clothing, into the waters of a new life, embracing the sun rising in the east. Baptismal renunciation of evil forces was once a much more protracted process, often encompassing several weeks of scrutiny. The Christian love of truth is rapidly vanishing in America as many hold their noses or embraced with gusto a vote for political leaders who chronically lie. The feisty lay theologian, war resister, and Rhode Island attorney William Stringfellow saw all of this coming. He says, "The weirdest corruption of contemporary American Protestantism is its virtual abandonment of the Word of God in the Bible. That is ironic because access to the Bible and devotion to the Word of God in the Bible was that out of which authentic Protestantism came into being. It's strange, too, because though the Bible suffers such neglect in Protestantism, the Protestants continue to boast of their esteem for the Bible." Well, I appreciate Stringfellow's shout-out to our Lutheran spiritual forebearer, Martin. While translating the New Testament in the common language of the German people in the 16th century, Luther once famously threw an inkwell at the devil, who was trying to divert the poor guy from his holy task, and the stain on the wall at the Wartburg Castle supposedly still exists.